Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. The Astrology Hour is produced by Leo Scorpio Productions in association with the Astrology Hour Club and the people of Southern California. I remain Farley, your host. Welcome to the Astrology Hour on KFOX. We're getting ready to go into our fifth year, actually our sixth year. Can you believe that? You know, when I first started on this show, I was a young boy. It makes you wonder what's going on here. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and my old pal Susie, and she said, why do they have the year? I want to know who invented the year, you know? Wouldn't you prefer that like 500 months equaled a year instead of 12? I thought, what is that all about? That's a good idea. Let's abolish the year. Because it does have a mental effect on you as you age, you know. But anyway, welcome to the Astrology Hour. We're going to talk about transits today, the good and the bad side to transits, some tough transits, and along those lines, advanced transits. Because a lot of our new listeners need to be reminded what transits are. People don't know. They hear the word transits and they go, oh, sounds like rapid transit, a bus, right? Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And frankly, the transits, I would say, are number two in importance as far as understanding astrology. Let's see what some of the other important parts are to understand. Number one is the natal effect, or the birth chart. The natal chart, I talked about it yesterday, the astrological signature. Number two would be how that signature is affected during your life cycle. Meaning that if you, let's say you create a car, like a Hyundai, 1989 Hyundai, right? And when it's finished and it first hits the road, it's brand new. It's shiny. It's clean. But that car is going to have a life. It's going to need maintenance. It may get a ticket once in a while. It may need a few oil changes once in a while. Those are transits. See? Well, same with us. When we're born, we're like a new car. And as we go through life, we also go through a lot of maintenance too. Interesting thing about living in the third dimension and also living on this planet is that we are constantly being bombarded by cosmic rays throughout the entire universe. In fact, you got to figure this way. I want to hit you with some pure Spock logic, because we've only been in the age of technology here for a little under 100 years, or maybe right around 100 years already. And all these scientists, the astronomers and biologists and physicists and guys inventing nuclear bombs and germ warfare, they think they're so smart, right? I mean, they are punks on the block. If we compare what really truly exists in the universe as far as some total knowledge and what scientists pretend to know right now, even doctors, if I could take a time machine and throw you 2,000 years into the future on Earth, let's say man survives, women survive, and we go all the way up to 3989. Now, how do you think they're going to think? When they look back at 1989, at medicine, the American Medical Association, perhaps, right? Don't you think they may consider some of our techniques like open heart surgery and some of the gynecological techniques? You put these ladies up in these stirrups and put these instruments in it. A little barbaric here. But we trust these doctors and we trust these scientists with our lives. In 3989, we might look back at Earth and say, my God, could you believe they had thousands of nuclear warheads pointed at each other back then? It's like a joke. So in perspective, I want you to know that what exists in the universe always dwarfs whatever we think we know. No matter how smart we think we are, we never truly can be as smart as what is real in the universe. So we are constantly dealing with an illusion, with a veil of truth, with a travesty as far as what we know. And all we can do is limit ourselves by preventing ourselves from having the evolution and the growth and the progression into understanding the truth behind astrology, which is a science of how cosmic rays from beyond this dimension affect this dimension with a focal point on Earth. You say, why Earth? That's because we're here. If we were in the dog star Sirius in the fourth planet, Googlebob, or whatever it is, then that's astrologically where we'd be concerned as far as that planetary system. But we're on Earth. So because we are on Earth, we are looking at it from this perspective. See, if we took a space shuttle to the moon, and let's say a baby was born on the moon, well, that baby would be a moon child. True, it wouldn't be an earthling, it would be a moon child, and it would have Earth in its chart. So the Earth would be the factor for emotions instead of the moon. Strange kid, huh? Oh, what sign is your Earth in? Well, I have Earth in Scorpio. Whoa, I'm staying away from you, buddy. But the point is, the interesting point here is that you must believe that at least try to open your mind to some of these facts, some of these points of information, that we have people walking around the planet constantly with a know-it-all attitude. They understand religion, period. In 3989, we might take a look at the way we handled religion back in 1989 and go, can you believe the garbage those people were into? Even New Age thought. New Age thought is fun and it's exciting, it's open-minded, but we're still children of consciousness and we're still struggling. So if we ever do get to a point of further truth and further truth and further truth, what appears to be real and more valid will be upon us as we grow. See what I mean? But the point is that we really do have to pull ourselves away from closed-minded thinking, dogmatic thinking, just bottom lines, creating bottom lines, because in order to understand astrology, which is a very intense science of cosmic effect from beyond this realm, then through the realm to the earth, you need to have open-minded thinking. It's tough enough to take your brain, right, out of the newspaper, away from sun signs. You know, you go, oh, Farley, what's it say about Leo in the Herald this morning? Well, if you're in the first grade, then you might want to read that, right? But see, this show is dedicated to taking people away from that type of genre, right, sun sign astrology, and putting you into a grasp or a field that includes all the planets. Because Mercury and Pluto and Venus may be small, but they are just as important. They have just as much of a vital organ effect on you as the sun did at birth. See, so that's the whole point. Now, when you're born, you literally, the thing that I love about the baby, isn't it weird how that baby stays in the womb and never needs any diapers, you know, it never needs to eat, doesn't breathe, just sits there and kicks around and squirms around and is actually sort of attached to the bloodstream of the mother. And once that baby's born, gets pretty messy right off the bat, you know, it starts going to the bathroom and eating and stuff and breathing. And it makes you wonder what's going on in the womb, actually. So it's a total experience different outside the womb and in this dimension than it is inside the womb. Inside the womb, you still have that oneness with the universe because you're still bound to another being. Can you imagine being held by another being for 9 months and never be let go? You're always right there in their lap. It's pretty comforting. Then all of a sudden, out of here, kid. Like you're dumped into a cold, hard world. You have to squeeze your way through this tight opening here, and which is very painful. And then right away, some weird doctor in Mississippi, you know, slaps your butt. First thing out, you get spanked. You haven't even done anything yet, right? So being born can not only be very traumatic to the spirit and to the body and to the mentality and the consciousness of the child, but it definitely is such an incredible awakening that the cosmic effect that goes on the moment we do start breathing and that digestive cycle begins and we finally become dependent and alone is so magical. That is what we talked about yesterday, that astrological signature or the natal chart or the birth effect. Now, I want to make this clear. You see, even though we are the universe and we are one with God in the universe and we really are a reflection of the universe, while we are in a life cycle, we literally bring with us this signature that remains fixed. So if you could look at every one of your cells in your body through a 3989 cosmic microscope, right, from the year 3989, you might be able to actually detect and dissect and analyze and understand that magical astrological moment that occurs at birth. What am I? I'm just a human being in 1989. You expect me to sit here and try to explain to you how God works in my current state? Uh-uh. I know it does work. I have proven through trial and error and through cause and effect that astrology definitely is a magical effect at birth. And somehow, some way, as the moving planets in the sky called the transiting planets, get it? Moving, transiting. As they move through the sky, they set off energy fields in our solar system that affect these little planetary systems. billions and billions of cells in our body and our brains charged by this cosmic effect at birth are constantly being affected by these mobile planets in the sky. I'll give you an example. You're born during a Scorpio moon. So every cell in your body has a Scorpio moon imprint on it. Get it? Intense emotional imprint is on every cell. So you're just kicking around, enjoying your life, no problem. Then all of a sudden, once a month, the moon goes into Scorpio. Bingo! It's like, how do you explain what is going on when the moon goes into that area of space where it was when you were born, and suddenly, it's like someone threw a bucket of water on you. It's like so obvious because emotionally, and your sensitivity, and your intuition, and your attitude, and your moods are all affected. They're all changed. It's like taking a walk in the park, and then all of a sudden, a swarm of bees hits you, or a naked woman streaks in front of you. It's like something obvious where you go, whoa, you know, like, whoa, what, there's something going on here, see? And that's really how astrology came into being, because they didn't have TV and movies to go to back in the olden times. What they did was they analyzed the universe, and they meditated, and they plugged into this force that existed that was confirmed by their intuitive minds, just like we meditate and confirm the astrological effect. And that's how astrology was developed as a science, cause and effect. The babies are affected at birth, and then they're constantly affected by the way the planets in the sky move and set off and trigger this signature circuit that's in our cells, especially our brain cells. And that is why the transit effect is so critical. Knowing your birth chart is part one, because you cannot understand how you will be affected by the moving planets unless you have a lock, a hold. You've mastered, you've memorized your planets in your birth chart. So when the moon goes into Leo, you go, oh, I'm a Leo. Well, that must mean something. That means the part of me that is Leo, that is creative, that is dominant, that is leader-oriented, that has authoritarian karma, is being triggered today by the Leo vibration that's going on in the sky. Now, it might sound a little complicated, but if you spend some time with it, and if you listen to this show, and you read the suggested reading and order our charts, after a while, it'll make sense. The basic idea here is just to let you know that the moving planets in the sky is one of our charts. In other words, we have two charts. We have a fixed chart, which is the birth signature, and we have a fluid chart that never ends, that all of us embrace, which is like the God chart. If you want to know where we're all one, we're one in the transits. See how that works? We all have that same exact transit chart going on that affects our bodies. So the one chart is like the vehicle or the car, and the other chart, the fluid chart, is like the road or where we're going. And when planets move into space, because they all go the same direction, unless they go retrograde, once in a while, from the Earth's point of view, planets will appear to be backing up. That's just because the Earth is going a little bit quicker than these planets are in their orbits. So instead of going forward in space, they appear to be backing up, and that's what we call retrograde motion. But typically, they continue around the same boomerang orbit around the sun, and they all move at different paces, and they all have different meanings. So by learning, see, if you want to learn astrology, you must learn the basic definitions of the planets, of the 11, let's see, the 8 planets besides the Earth, the sun, the moon, and the rising sign, what those definitions are, the 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 houses of life, and the aspects. Now that's it. That's really it. If you get down what all the planets mean, what all the signs mean, and what the houses mean, and plus that jargon when I'm talking about conjunctions, quinxes, squares, trines, oppositions, and such, then you got it down. And the remarkable thing about this show is when we send you your birth signature chart, your astroscope, we include a guide that defines all those things for you. So with just a little study, you spend a couple weeks on this, you'll wake up in the middle of the night and you go, Farley, I've got it. Of course, I'll be sleeping in my home. I won't hear you. Maybe I won't wake up and go, what was that? But the point is that it's not that difficult to get it down. And once you get that down, then you have an idea of what your vehicle is. And then you can start, when you start hearing me announce the planets at the beginning of the show, that's the God chart. That's the fluid chart. That's the transits. And, you know, I notice I called a few of my numbers today. I'm looking at this chart. I'm going, Pluto's at 14 Scorpio today. Well, I'm having a transit. For the next few months, Pluto is going to be exactly square my Pluto. Guess what? It is 14 Leo. So that means that I am going through a transit circuit effect right now that can affect my career, my overall stress levels. And well, let's go see what Pluto square Pluto says again in my advanced transits as long as we're sitting here. Let's get this puppy down. Okay, Pluto square Pluto, and I've read it yesterday. This is a tough transit. Everybody goes through it at around 40. Everybody. So when you understand astrology, it's amazing how you can become aware of what you're going to go through at a different sector in your life because everybody goes through the same transits. Not all at the same time, but eventually you will go through a Pluto square Pluto if you survive. And it's a weird transit because Pluto is an intense planet. Power, control, and manipulation are at issues. You may feel you're at mercy of impersonal forces, the toy of a giant. Loss, setbacks are possible, yet through these difficult experiences, you can be reborn somehow. Rising from the ashes is the only way. So, because I'm an astrologer and astrologically enlightened, and because I understand this astrological circuit, and also because I understand the fluid circuit, the transiting planets, and now I have a transit forecast to guide me through it, basically, what we're talking about here is plugging in and zeroing in on finally being able to nail down and understand why certain things happen in your life, the timing of when they'll happen, and what the karma behind the whole thing is. Get it? People listen to this show and they go, duh. Yeah, I don't know what Farley's talking about. I'm not going to get my chart. Then other people listen and go, yeah, I want to take the edge off my life. I want to understand what's going on. I want to rip this blindfold off, and I want to have some kind of idea as to why these things are happening to me. Let's take a look at what else is happening in Farley's chart. I'm having a Uranus oppose Venus right now. Uranus at 5 Capricorn is opposition my natal Venus at 5 Cancer. The transiting Uranus is opposition my natal Venus. You always say the liquid or the fluid planet first, and then you give the aspect of what the transit is. Squares, trines, sextiles, oppositions are conjunctions. And then you read what it means. Let's get personal about Farley. Unexpected changes affect love, money, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but I almost spent every penny I had saved for my whole life 3 weeks ago. Everything. I almost zeroed out, bankrupt. And I'm an astrologer. I'm Farley Mallers. I know about this transit, and it took my friends and loved ones to tell me that I was being a fool. But because I'm a Leo, I fought them. I said, no, I want to invest everything I own, sell my boat, sell my cars. And then I thought about it the next day. I went, why do I want to do this to myself? Is this all really worth tapping my entire resources out? You know, I thought, no, it's not worth it. I canceled it. I was going to try to buy a really cheap condo in Westwood and put a huge down on it because I wanted a little monthly payment, right? But when you put a huge down on something, you have no money. You use up all your money. So I thought, great, you know, in fact, well, I was trying to liquidate everything I owned to do it. And then I saw that Uranus opposed Venus. Unexpected changes affect love, money, and the pursuit of happiness. If Farley liquidated everything, what would happen to the show? I wouldn't have enough money to pay K-Fox. I'd be gone. So real smart thing, right? Uranus opposed Venus. People you care about may seem unpredictable, unreliable. Things you value may disappoint you. These experiences impel you to rethink your attachments to people, things, ideals, and values. Now, there are people out there that are 40 that know nothing about astrology, and they're going through the same exact similar transits as I am. Uranus opposed Uranus, Uranus opposed Venus, Pluto square Pluto, but they don't know. So they're spending the money on all that stuff. They're fighting authority. They don't have a monitor to understand what's going on. And the fun thing about the Astrology Hour is once you get into this show and once you order our charts and our transits, the ones that are designed just for you, we tell you right there on paper in front of you what's going on. And people call me up and say, Farley, thank God I got my transits because I almost got arrested today because I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And there in my transits, it said problems with authority, government figures, and possibly the police. And when I saw a problem situation, so I just got in my car and I just slowly drove off because I was very angry and I could have blown it. But that's the type of thing you find out. I'm also having Mars in my eighth house. I went and played baseball the other day and pulled a muscle in my back. Check this out. Take action on health matters if the need arises. You can get killed with Mars in the eighth house. You can have a bad accident with Mars in the eighth house. Joint finances or other people's money could prompt conflicts at this time. And we look further here. It just never ends some of the focus that you can really, really plug into. Now, I'm also having this month a Saturn square Neptune. Saturn in Capricorn is square my Neptune in Libra. Another heavy, in case you're wondering, I'm reading from the advanced transits because I love them. These puppies give me the chill, right? People, circumstances can shatter your dreams and illusions now. Loss is possible. Caution a must. Wouldn't you like to know when you're having this sort of stuff go down? Feelings, hunches can lead you off the path toward attaining your ambitions. Get the facts. Avoid a setback caused by deception, secrets, or over-idealism. This stuff is hardcore. This transit, when we send you out this transit, if you're having a transit where we think you could be in trouble, we let you know about it. You see? So, when you study astrology, it's all well and good that you know your natal chart. And I salute all of you that have bought your natal chart. But if you don't get a 3-month or a 6-month starter package or you don't send for the transits, you're blowing it. Because the only way you can truly experience astrology, like really going down the waterfall, you know what I mean? And in the canoe down the rapids, is to know your transits. And the only way you can learn them is to follow them and understand them. We give you a helper guide in the transits here, but you can start to get the feel and feel the rhythm of astrology and how it works and how it affects you. And you know what I compare it to? I compare it to like a pebble in the sea, in the ocean. And the transit forecast literally lets you know what the sea condition is for the day. You ever go out in the ocean and sometimes it's real flat, no wind, calm. Then the next day you'll go out and there'll be 12-foot choppers, winds blowing like crazy. That's just the way the universe works. The universe has a cosmic energy, a residual energy that affects us like pebbles in the sea. And when you get into astrology, you understand this pebble effect when you learn about transits. Now, at this point, I guess a lot of you have your pens ready and you're real anxious to send for your transits. I can't blame you because when I first got into astrology and found out this thing called transits existed, I got so excited I freaked out because I'm the type of guy that likes to know what's going on. I like to plan my life out. I'm very interested in timing, and I like to know when to take advantage of the good energies and when to kick back when energies are intense. And that's explicitly what the transits teach you. Okay, I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, KFOX 93.5 FM in Redondo Beach. And I'm glad to have you here. Hi, guys. Some people think that I'll only have women down here in this control room. Your mics are on if you want to lean forward. What's your name?
Angus.
Angus. If you lean forward, you're Eric, right?
Yeah.
Did you guys enjoy that topic?
Oh, that was a great talk.
It was clear, huh? Yeah. Some people think all we have listening to the show is women, but now that there's three men in the control, we have plenty of yang force coming out over the radio. Yeah, you know, it's really important to remind people about the natal and the transits, because it's difficult to teach any other topic unless they get that. Do you guys both understand the natal and transit philosophies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're advanced students, members, and you got celestite, right, Angus?
That's right.
Do you have celestite too, Angus?
No, I've never seen it, actually. Yeah.
You having any success with your celestite, Angus?
Have you been meditating? The other day I tried that meditation of astral travel, and I can't seem to get it down. When it starts,
you get scared.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just all in its own time, all in its own course. Some people flip out of the body like Superman, you know, but just practicing with it, but you can feel yourself wailing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's like peeling yourself out of a bottle or something. But when you do feel more calm and comfortable, then look out, because then you'll be flying above Los Angeles and you'll see me and go, "Hey, Farley, what's going on out here?" I say, "Well, I'm just checking out the weather." Okay, guys, thanks for coming down.